to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Praise the Lord. If you brought your Bible this evening, go over to the book of the second chapter of 1 Samuel. And we're going to begin here again this evening. And we've been speaking two services in the main auditorium, I guess. We had in Bible school Sunday night. We preached on this. So we want to get back into it, if you can handle it. We're talking about honor. We're talking about honor. This is huge, big deal when it comes to God. It's the very essence of His character. He is honorable, very trustworthy. You can take it to the bank if He says something. That's honorable, isn't it? To be honest and honorable with your word. And so, but we're talking about some things regarding honor, and particularly what this verse says in 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse number 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for they that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We've been looking at that verse in these services, and I don't know if this is getting alive to you or not, but it's just growing big time on the inside of me. But the thing that's in my heart right now so much, and we'll look at it again here this evening, is the fact here, he said, they that honor me, I will honor. Now, there's a difference between man's honor and God's honor. This is honor from God. This comes from God. And this is better than life itself. Been saying that. It's better than life itself. If you don't have this, you don't have a life. If you don't have honor, you don't have a. You're not living. And if you lose your honor, you've lost everything. Lose respect, because remember what we said honor is? It's respect. It's somebody valuing you, God in this case, valuing you. You might say, well, he values everybody. Yeah, because of the blood, but you see, there's some things that he can't honor, that they the ways they respond. He can't respect that. He's done some things, but he only respects the proper and appropriate return. Now, go over to John's Gospel, the fifth chapter, actually, where are we at here? John's Gospel, the fifth chapter, and verse number 44. John chapter 5, verse number 44. The more I study this, the more I realize this is really throughout the Bible. That there is an honor that comes from God only. There is an honor that comes from God only. John 5, 44 talks about it again. How can you believe, Jesus said, which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Men pass honor around. Men play honor games. You do this for me, I'll do that for you. But this is something that man can't give you. This is an honor that comes from God only, and man can't give you. And I'm interested in that more than anything that man can give me. Because men are fickle. You know, they'll change. They can, like for Jesus, they said, blessed is, I mean, this is in a short period of time. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, and then within a short period of time, crucify him, crucify him. Yes, sir. It's very fickle. People change with the wind. You can see that in the world, Hollywood's fame and popularity and culture and politics and all that out there. I mean, people just turn on a dime. Just it's not based on something deeper than circumstances. In other words, their honor is not based on something deeper than circumstances. So really, I'm not that interested in it. Tell your neighbor, if you know what's good for you, you're not interested in it either. Amen. Praise God. Jesus in Matthew 10:17 said, beware of men. Beware of men. They'll sing and dance and say, hail, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, and then crucify him, crucify him. They'll tell you you're wonderful, and then they'll say you have a devil. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, they'll like you, and then they'll change. They'll think you're wonderful, and then they'll think you're terrible. you know, be dead to a people's praise. Be dead to their honor, to their recognition, you know, to their promoting you or their criticism. You know, Paul said, to me, it's a very small thing that I would be judged of. He's talking to the Corinthian church. To me, it's a very small thing that I would be judged of you. Very small deal. It ought to be a very little thing what people think. What you ought to be interested in is in what God thinks. What God thinks. And His honor. And His favor. And how He can lift you up and do things for you that man can't do. Because if He puts you in a place, He exalts you and does something for you, man may be mad and ticked off about it and have a hard time with it, but they can't do a thing about it. They can't do a thing about it because they didn't put you there.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yeah.
It's the truth.
Yes, sir.
That's why the media is so mad at our president. They can't do anything with him because they didn't put him there. America put him there. They're used to raising people up and cutting their legs out from under them, but they didn't raise him up, and so they can't cut his legs out from under him. Now, that might make you mad that I say that, but get over it. If you honor God, you honor who God put in there. So, praise the Lord. There's a lot of people gnashing with their teeth and pining away at what's going on in America right now. They can't stand righteousness. They can't stand cleaning things up. They can't stand it. They can't stand it. But you notice they can't do anything about it. They can't do anything about it. They can't do anything about it. Praise the Lord. Say, I still love Pastor anyway. So, we've been looking at this. Tell your neighbor, we're going to look at it some more tonight if you can handle it. Now, the honor of God, if you look it up, the word honor means valuing or esteem or, you know, it means lifting up. It means promotion, whether it be in blessings, whether it be in usefulness to God, whether it be in anointings, whether it be in positions positions in the things of God or positions among men. The honor of God can set you on high. The Bible talks about being set on high. And so honor means all that. It means valuing, lifting up, increase, approval, blessings, I should say, usefulness or anointings and increase. It means to show approval and pleasure for through such promotions. Amen. Praise God. You realize men can lift people up, but they can also fall because if God didn't put them there, men can take them down. So you have to understand, although men does these things and men can exalt people and put them on pedestals and so forth, that's man's approval, man's honor. But God can do the same thing. God wants to do the same thing. And so what we're talking about is the dignity, the acclaim. I'm just giving you dictionary definitions. Dignity, acclaim, and heightened increase. Promotion or advancement, or that's what the word honor means, in God. Amen. That comes from God only, that no man can do. Amen. Now, until you hear how that manifests in our lives, that might not be real exciting for you, but we've been talking about the fact that God wants to do this. He said here, I will honor those that honor me. I will lift them up. Let's put the definitions in there. I will lift them up. I'll promote them into blessings and positions of increase and anointing and usefulness and so forth. And I'll show my pleasure on them through such promotions.
Amen.
God, when He's pleased, He shows it.
Yes.
He doesn't just sit on the throne and turn over to God, Jesus, and say, I'm so pleased with them. His pleasure is demonstrated.
Yeah.
It's demonstrated by raising you up. By lifting you up. Now, some people say, well, we don't want to be lifted up. No, God, you see, you got to get rid of this false religious pride. False religious humility, false religious pride. There's two sides of it, but let's take the humility. False religious humility is people say, no, we don't want to be exalted, you know, into any kind of recognition or promotion or increase or have anything or any possessions or anything, which is, you know, a false humility. Because if they really believed that, they wouldn't be working a job. But anyway, that being set aside, they say those things thinking that it's wrong to be lifted up. God said in His Word, He wants to lift us up. Well, let me just give you some verses. Let's go over to James 4. Let's go over to a couple of these. I know some of you know this, but let's just go over it again. Can you handle getting more revelation on it? James chapter 4, we read in verse 6, He gives more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God, then resist the devil, and He'll flee from you, so forth and so on. Go down to verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He'll do what? Lift you up. Lift you up. He wants to lift you up. Okay, it's not loud enough on that. He wants to lift you up. He wants you in places of high, exalted positions. In the economy, on your work for in the workplace. He wants you in high places of influence. High places of, you have a louder voice. Now, I don't mean louder vocally, but I mean a greater voice into things rather than being the one that has to follow other people who are leading things. He wants you to lead things. Amen. He wants you to be the head of things.
Amen. Amen.
Christians ought to be the head of government, head of business, Amen. The head of politics, the head of everything. Christians ought to be. They ought to be running everything.
Absolutely.
And we'll show you that before we leave tonight from the Scriptures. But here he said, you and I like to put verses 6 and 10 together. He gives more grace, wherefore he said, God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and He'll lift you up. So notice he said, He'll give grace to the humble. And verse 10 says that it's through humility that gets the grace that you're lifted up. So really, through humility, you and I get lifted up. In the kingdom of God, the way up is down. Humility is not beating yourself down, but just laying real close to the truth, not exalting, thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Think soberly according as God's dealt to every man the measure of faith. Wherever you are, whatever your genuine position in God is, stay right there, and that's humility. Even if that's a high place, stay right there, and that's humility. Now, go over to 1 Peter chapter number 5. We're going to go through some things quicker here at the beginning. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's look at again. Another verse says a similar thing. People say in a false religion, false religious humility, God, we don't want to be lifted up. Well, you'll never do anything. You'll never influence this world for God if you're not. Amen. 1 Peter 5, let's look at verse 6. Humble yourselves there. Well, let's go back to verse. Well, stay in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. We saw that in verse in James, didn't we? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. That He may what?
Exalt.
He wants to exalt you. He wants to lift you up. To exalt means to lift up. Now somebody said, what's lifted up? How does God lift us up? Well, we'll look at it in a few minutes. But I want you to see the verses that show He wants to lift you up. Amen. Amen. And so there is a 1 Corinthians 4, 5. Just write this down. There is a praise that comes from God. All right. I wanted to not go there, but you need to go there. Some of you won't even, I think we'll get it better if we turn there. If we went too fast, we'd just skim over it and you wouldn't recognize it. But look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. We're going to look at a lot of verses here tonight. Be a little different flow, but this will help lay foundation for future understanding. We're looking at 1 Corinthians 4, look at verse number 5. Therefore, this is where he said, it's a very small thing, you know, that I'm judged of you, Paul was talking. But look here in verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. You didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? God will actually praise you. That doesn't mean worship kind of praise. But he will recognize what you did.
Come on.
Say, good job.
Yeah.
Good
Amen.
Job.
Amen.
Yeah. And not it doesn't just come with a good job pat on the back. It comes with promotion. It comes with, okay, you've been faithful over a few things. Good job. Be thou ruler over much. Remember, that's what he said. That's what God wants to do. He said, okay, you've been faithful there. Good job. Now I'm going to move you on to more. You're going to be over more. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to take you on. Amen. Remember Jesus said to Brother Hagin, he said he was praying the Ephesians prayers for himself. And boy, I got into some places in the spirit today praying for this church about the Ephesians prayers today. But he was praying. Brother Hagin was praying the Ephesians prayers. Lord, give me the spirit of, I claim, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Remember that? Back all those years ago, Brother Hagin told that story. And he said, there came a time where God said, I'm going to take you on to visions and revelations of the Lord. Remember that? Remember that? Remember that? You know what those visions and revelations of the Lord did? They raised his ministry up to the forefront of the body of Christ. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. See, we're so religiously brainwashed sometimes, we don't see that God wants to do that. Why did he want to do that? For his glory.
Yes, sir.
Not Brother Higgins. For God's glory.
Yes, sir.
For God's glory. He wanted to get the message out. And he needs somebody to help him get the message out. We're laborers together with God. And I tell you, God wants to do that in this generation. He wants to raise some people up to get the message out, to get the word out, to make them influential, to give them a voice in the body of Christ. And he'll do that through the same way he did it for Brother Hagin. It's in the Bible, actually. We'll look, before we go tonight, I think, we're going to get it done tonight. But he'll do it for you. He'll lift you up.
Amen.
He'll make you more influential. He'll give you a greater platform with a greater voice to talk to more people, reach more people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Now, so I thought you'd be interested in that verse. Every man will have praise of God. Isn't that interesting? But look here in Psalm 91. I want you to notice this is in the Bible over here, too. The more I study this, the more I see it all over the Bible now. It's kind of the way these things go for me. God will start stirring something in me, and I start digging in the Word, and I'm saying, oh, there it is in that chapter, too. Oh, over there it is, too, over there. Oh, there it is. There it is. Look here in Psalm 91. We know this. But he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, so forth. He'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's the defense of El Shaddai. And verse 13, let's go down to verse number 14, actually. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. You ought to circle him. I will set him on high. Circle him. Draw a line to a space around there. You can write something and write your name in there.
Amen.
So every time you read that, I set my love on Jesus. He delivers me and sets me on high. Sets Pastor Jay on high. Sets him on high. Yeah, but Pastor, that's vague. I don't know what that means. Well, just don't leave before the end of the service. You'll find out what it means. He'll set him on high. Notice he went on to say, because he has known my name. Then look verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. There's the honor of God again. The honor of God.
Yeah, come on.
The honor that comes from God only. Well, there's a lot you could say there, but I don't know about you. Verse 15 kind of to me gives me the clue.
Amen.
Call upon me, I will answer him in trouble. That's an honor that God Almighty would hear me pray and answer me. And he said, from the whole context, you can see this, praying about some need. And from verse number 14, he'll set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. He mentioned deliverance in both 14 and 15. So he's talking about praying about some situation you got yourself in, praying about some Yeah, pickle you got yourself in. Some trouble. No, you've never done that, just me. But he said, praying about it, and I set my love on him. He's first, and I'm seeking him about this, and I'm using my faith. If you look at the whole chapter, I'm using my faith about it. And then he said, I'll set him on high in verse 14. Then he said in verse number 15, he will call upon me, I'll be with him in trouble, but not just with him. He's not just with you in trouble to pat you on the back, say, now you're going to make it, you're going to make it. He's with you to do the next part, yeah. to deliver you. People today, well, God's with me. Yeah, and he said he'll go with you through the valley of the shadow of death. He'll get you out of the other side. That's what he's with you for. He's not there to be a hitchhiker. He's got a job to deliver us over and over and over. Always triumphant. Always triumphant. Overcoming the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Always winning. He always causes us to triumph. He leads us as in triumph, as trophies of Christ's victory. He dangles us in the face of the enemy over and over again and say, see, they're mine, they're mine, they're mine. Every time they call upon me, I answer them and I get them out. And you couldn't stop them. That's what a trophy is. When the team wins, they get a trophy and they dangle it. Hey, look, we won. That's what you are in Jesus' hands. He puts you in the devil's face. See, I won, I won, I won. And they love me, and I honor them. I honor them. Boy, and if God keeps on being faithful, I mean, he's always faithful. I don't mean he, not if, like he, I'm just saying if we keep on being faithful and keep on tapping into his faithfulness, and we keep on being delivered, eventually we're going to be the top of everything. Praise God. He raises us out from low places, sets us in high places. Praise God. Can you shout anymore now? It's getting a little bit excited. This is Psalm 75. You're just there in Psalm 91. Back up a few pages. Psalm 75. We on, you're going to Psalm 75, but on Sunday night there in mentoring class, I call it Bible school, mentoring class, minister's mantle. We were talking about the woman over there in, which one was it, 2 Kings 4? First, yeah, 2 Kings 4. The woman in 2 Kings 4, the Bible said that God sent Elijah, or I think that was Elisha, to King James says a great woman of Shunem. The Amplified says rich and influential. That's what we're talking about. Duh, that's what we're talking about. Man, I just don't want to. Why?
Come on.
Probably because you don't want to be responsible.
That's right. That's it right there.
You don't want the responsibility of managing it for God.
Come on.
You don't want to have nothing so you don't have to do anything for God.
Oh, come on. Say it.
Or you're selfish, one of the two.
Yeah, come on.
Well, anyway, they like it over here. Let's see if they like it over here. Some people don't want anything because they're selfish. You know, they don't want to have to give. Anyway, praise the Lord. Now, this is in Psalm 75, verse 5 through 7. Psalm 75, 5 through 7. Lift not up your horn on high. My mom had a different way of saying that. Don't toot your own horn. Lift not up your own your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. Don't lift your horn on high. Somebody said one time, he who toots his own horn, his horn shall not be tooted. Anybody ever heard that? All right. So verse number 6. For what? Promotion. Oh, he's talking about promoting yourself. Don't promote yourself. For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and sets up another. I want to know then how what he puts down and what he puts up, don't you? who he sets down, who he says. I want to know. Well, we really already know. We read James chapter number 4. We read 1 Peter chapter number 5. Humility.
Yes, sir.
That's really what he's talking about. Don't toot your own horn. Pride. Toot your own horn. Isn't that right? So, but I wanted you to see here that promotion does come, and it comes from God. It's God that raises those who humble themselves before God and honor God. It's Him that raises them up. I don't believe Christians should die with no testimony. With not having influenced their day, influenced their culture, influenced the work of God in that culture, been very, very powerful, very influential.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe not everybody knows them, but they are very influential. Now, praise God. Now, that's really, if you think about what he said over there in 1 Samuel chapter number 2, he said, then he's talking to a man. We read the context in previous services. Eli, the priest, high priest actually, he was told by God, he was not correcting his sons for their sin in the priesthood. We've read it in the past. Maybe not, I don't know, maybe the first service we looked at it. But he was honoring his sons more than he was honoring God. If he honored God, he'd say to his sons, stop it, and if you don't, I'm kicking you out of the priesthood. Because it's sin. It's a sin not only against the people, it's a sin against God.
Yeah, come on.
And so, but he wouldn't do that. And so, God, and here's a man, God's speaking to a man. This is a prophet came to Eli saying, they that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And the prophet came talking to a man who's in one of the highest places in the nation.
Yeah.
One of the highest positions in the nation at that time. He's the chief priest. He's kind of like the number one minister of the day.
Yeah.
Everybody knows him.
Yeah.
And so here's this word came to him, they that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me will be lightly esteemed. And actually within a few, I don't remember how long it was there, a chapter or so, he's dead within a chapter or so. And his sons actually died in battle right after that. And so that line of priesthood is gone. The point is, isn't that God, that God said, I honored you whenever you honored me and put you in that place of position. Isn't that right? But he's saying, since you don't honor me, then you have disqualified yourself and you will be cut out. You will be removed from that place of position. Can you see that now better, what he's talking about? And so it's saying the same thing in Psalm 75 here, that it's God that promotes. That doesn't mean everybody in every position was promoted by God. Some people promoted themselves. But that means there's no power from God for them to stay there. Now, with that in mind, we want to go back to the thoughts we found in 1 Peter 5 and then in James chapter number 4. The key to all this is humility, isn't it? Go over now with me to the book of Proverbs in the 22nd chapter, first of all. A little bit different flow tonight. We're just going from scripture to scripture. But we need to just get all kinds of services. Proverbs 22, verse number 4. Proverbs 22, verse number 4. I'm telling you, God wants to do some things for you. He has promotion in mind for you. Now, it's in His plan for you. Every one of us is going to be different. If it's in the business world, he wants you to be, you know, the leader in that in the area of that in that industry. Yeah, absolutely. There's that kind of grace available through responding to God in humility and honoring Him. Can you see where we're going with this? Now, here in Proverbs 22, look at verse 20. Verse 4. Proverbs 22, verse number 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord, that's the reverence of the Lord, are riches and honor and life. In other words, God will honor you with riches and long life by reverencing Him and being humble before Him. Isn't that what He's talking about? Now go to Proverbs 18, just a few verses, a couple chapters back. Proverbs 18 and verse number 12. Like I said, just looking at some verses here. Verse number 12. And Proverbs 18, verse number 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And before honor is humility. Now, there's the honor of God again. You can see he's contrasting the honor of God with destruction. In other words, they're opposites, polar opposites. You can learn from in the Bible what God means by things by whenever he uses things like this and gives polar opposites. Notice, let's look at it again. Verse number 12 there. Let's look at the polar opposites. He said, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And so he's contrasting honor and destruction. He's saying they're on two different ends of the spectrum. And he's contrasting it with humility and pride. Isn't that right? So since he said the humble get honor and the proud are destroyed, then the honor of God will be the opposite of destruction. The honor of God will be deliverance from destruction. Where others would be destroyed, you were honored by God because of your trust in him, your love for him, and your honor for him, and you were moved out of that, and what would have destroyed other people, you were delivered from that, and now you're set in a higher place. And so more and more as we study this, you can see the honor of God is not just a pat on the back. The honor of God is very tangible. It is manifest in very tangible ways. That's what I wanted you to see here as we go on, that this exaltation or this lifting up will be manifest in very tangible ways. Now, go over with me now to the book of James, chapter number 5. Little different flow tonight, just going from verse to verse, just the way it came up in my heart. I like to swing my arms and spit cotton and preach, but this is the flow tonight. So these are things, what you need to do is capture these things in your notes, take them home and say, God, show me what this means to me. What? Show me in my life.
Amen.
In my life.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. I'm thinking of a testimony right now of a man who was a minister, was out on the streets. This is at some bigger city in the United States. This happened years ago. I haven't heard a couple of testimonies like this, but this particular one, he was sharing Jesus with some people, and a guy, I found out, okay, he's sharing Jesus with, he didn't know at the time, he's sharing Jesus with a drug dealer, and a guy pulled out a pistol and said, you shut up or I'm going to kill you. And he said, well, God loves you, you know, and he wouldn't shut up. The guy pulled the trigger, the bullet came out and fell to the ground right in front of him, lay right there on the ground. So he pulled the trigger again. The same thing happened. The bullet came out, but it didn't come out fast. It just came out boom, and fell out the barrel and fell on the ground. You know, he's trying, and it happened several times, and finally he fell on his knees repenting. That's God honoring him.
Amen.
Honoring him for not compromising his testimony.
Amen. That's so good.
Glory.
Glory.
And honoring him in such a way that people are telling that story all over the world.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I like it. So we find in James chapter 5, we read here in verse number, let's start in verse number 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save. That's the Greek word for heal. You know, when you got saved, you actually got healed. It's all by faith. The prayer of faith shall save or heal the sick, and the Lord shall what? Raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I used to look at that, and I just thought naturally, raise him up. I thought naturally, get him up off of his sick bed. But it didn't say that this is just for people that are in bed. What if you're not in bed? What if you have a heart problem and your heart's only working at 20%?
Yeah.
But you're out around. You just might not be down in bed, but you're out. You can get up and do a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Come to church and,
yeah.
you know, go grocery shopping and do all those things, you know. Hello?
Amen.
Well, would it not be him being healed? Would it not be God lifting him up?
Yeah.
Even though he wasn't in bed? Would that be, now his heart's at 100% and the doctors say, we don't know what happened? Well, that's God lifting him up out of that. That's God. See, he was in a low place, or she, whoever, was in a low place, and now God brought him up out of that. Praise God. We use this terminology in our vernacular all the time, if you think about it. If somebody's not doing very well in different areas, you know, he's down. He's down. We'll say things like that. Well, this is what God's talking about. He's going to take people that are down and bring them up. Under oppression, under bondage of sickness, under poverty, or, you know, some sort of situation or discouragement or something. Well, they're down. Well, for the ones that are down, look and go over to Job. I was going to look at another verse first, but go over to Job. Let's look at how he says something here. In Job chapter 22, God has a word for people that are down. Tell your neighbor, you're going to get a word tonight. Job 22, look at verse number 29. When men are cast down, then you shall say, there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. Isn't that what we've been talking about? Humility before God will get you a lifting up. Isn't that right? Now, let's just go ahead and shuck the corn and kick every religious devil out of the service that came in. Tell your neighbor, we're going to go ahead and do it. Look at Psalm 113. Psalm 113. I don't know why I had it in my heart to do it this way. Not just going from verse to verse. Just verse to verse. But that's fine. Psalm 113. It says in verse number 7, Psalm 113, verse number 7, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and he lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. President Trump recently has a different term for that, but anyway. He said he didn't say it. I don't know if he did or not, but I'm not promoting cussing, but he is scriptural. I didn't make it up. Some of you are mad. Look at it in your Bible. Your Bible. It's in your Bible. I saw it. Did you see it? If you didn't see it, you're not looking. The very first thing I thought when they said that he said that, which he said he didn't say it.
Right.
But everybody else saying he said it. But, or one person said it. Anyway, first thing I thought when he said that, I thought, everybody that's mad hasn't been overseas.
Come on. Exactly. That's so true.
You have not been overseas. I told you the religion's going to get stirred up in here tonight. Listen, if your town looks like it could exist back in Jesus' day,
Come on.
Your town is not being set on high among the towns of your nation, and your nation's not being set on high amongst the nations. You're at the bottom of the nations, the ranking of nations, not very high. Don't get mad at me. Well, we need to give to those people. I agree. And we're doing our part. But the cure is not handing money. The cure is honoring God. The cure is being humble before God and letting him and giving him an open door of putting the grace of God on you to prosper you. And I'll show it to you in the verse in the Bible. Go over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Deuteronomy 28, let's read verses 12 and 13. The Lord shall open unto thee. Now, go back to verse number 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse number 1. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, and to which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Some of you are getting madder by the minute. But he said, do what I say. In other words, honor me, honor my word, respond to it, be honorable, humble yourself before it, make the adjustments to say, I'm going to do that, not my way. I'm going to be a doer of the word. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to live right. I'm going to keep my word. I'm not going to cheat on my boss. On and on and on. Honor me. Honor me, God said. And whenever you do that, I will set your nation on high above all nations of the earth. And here he's going to describe what that looks like. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. And he goes into all these lists. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall be you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies to rise up against thee one way, rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and all that thou settest thine hand unto. Thou shalt bless, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. See, holiness is walking in his way of doing things. Then he said, all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Here it is. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, to give the heavens to give the rain unto thy land in his season, to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Thou shalt, verse 13, the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do. Above only. Above only. That's called being lifted up. That's a fulfillment of verse number 1. The Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Are you still out there or are you mad? Tell your neighbor, I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to get glad. You know why people get mad at this? How many of you want to know why people get mad at this? For the same reason people got mad in Jesus' day when he preached. They were offended. Some people heard it and got glad. Some people heard it and got mad. People that got mad were full of pride. People that got glad, they were humble. Pride gets rebellious at the word. Pride doesn't like the word. Humility says, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I'll receive that from you, Lord. I'll walk in your ways. I'll obey you. But pride gets spitting mad. Religion doesn't like this tonight. But God, it's in God's words anyway. Amen. God will do this. He'll lift you up. See, here's the problem. Here's what gets people mad. Other people do it their own way, serving the devil. Well, God's not in the way the devil does things. But there is a way, and religious people miss this sometimes. They think, well, everybody that's got money, they got it the wrong way. No, that's not actually, that's actually a lie.
Yeah.
There are people that did it God's way, got it God's way, being honorable to God and humble before God, walking in all His Word, being faithful to Him, and God keeps lifting them up, keeps lifting them up, keeps lifting them up. They keep doing better. They keep being going ahead financially. Isn't that the truth? And the devil didn't have anything to do with it. Hold your finger there, because we're coming back. We're not done with that. Hold your finger there and go to 1 Chronicles 29. If you're not mad yet. just looking at verses tonight. So anybody that doesn't like it, they can't say, well, he said it. No, I didn't say it. I didn't say it. God said it. God said it. The reason some people are offended at us about this is not because, some Christians, not because it's in the Bible. It's because we believe it.
Right.
That's true.
That's right.
They read it. Oh, well. We don't want any of this. Our world's good. We read it and go, oh, yeah, praise the Lord. Well, we'll take. So we got 1 Chronicles 29. Are you still happy or are you still mad? Which is? You can choose. This is whenever David started the offering for the temple back there, whenever they, because remember God said he couldn't build it, and but his son Solomon would, and he said, but you can lay up for it. So he started the offering off and gave, I wrote it down here somewhere. I don't know if it's in the margin of this Bible. It was over $1 billion. In today's economy, it'd be over $1 billion. Somebody said, man, he must have given it all away. No, later it says David died full of riches, honor, and wealth. But he said in verse, this is whenever they all rejoiced after the offering they gave willingly in verse number 9. Then it says in verse number 10, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be the Lord, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O God, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Verse 12, if you can handle it. Both riches and honor come of thee. Riches and honor. Notice he put those two together. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. Look at this. In thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Therefore, O God, we thank thee and praise thee and glory, thy glorious name. And he went on to say some things, you know, just such, he was thanking God that he had done this for him. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's time for us to raise up our horizons.
Yes, sir. Come on. Yeah.
You might go home after hearing this, look around your house and say, this is not the honor of God. I don't know. I haven't been to your house. I'm just saying you might. I'm not thinking of anybody, so don't go there with me. But I'm saying you might go home and look it around and say, this is not the honor of God. This is not the honor of God. God has, in other words, God can lift me up better than this. Higher than this.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Go back to Deuteronomy 28. Go back to Deuteronomy 28. I don't mean do something beyond your faith. I'm just simply saying, go to working on your faith.
Yeah.
Go to developing your faith.
Amen.
And reach for more. And make all your relatives mad. I know a minister one time, they were really, the news media was critical of him because of some things he had. And they got in their helicopters and flew over his house, and they were filming his house. And so he decided, I know what I'm going to do. And he went up there on his house roof, And he, I don't know if it was flour or sugar or salt or something, and he just started emptying bags of it, and he spelled on his house roof, "Yes, I'm blessed." And boy, that made him madder. You know. Listen. Religious spirits will gnash with their teeth and pine away at you walking into this. But you just stay in love because that's honoring God. Just stay in love, walking in humility, recognizing it's not because you did it, it's because He did it. Amen. And everybody that's mad about it, they can get in on it if they just humble themselves before God. Do you realize God will do it for anybody? He'll do it for anybody. Anybody, He'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. He wants to do it for you. That's what he said over there in James and 1 Peter. I want to do that. So Deuteronomy 28, did I tell you to go back there? Look at here what he said. Then we'll go back to verse 12 and 13. He said, he'll bless all the work of your hand. And then he said, you'll lend unto many nations and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Now that's stated in verses, let's go over to verse 43 and verse 44. 43 and verse 44. The stranger, the verse 12 and 13 is the blessings. He was talking about the blessings. But now over in verse 43 and 44, he's talking about the curses for not obeying. Then he said, the stranger that is within thee, in verse 43, shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head and thou shalt be the tail. I want you to see that in both 12 and 13, where in verse 12 at the end he said, thou shalt lend unto many nations. This is the blessing. This is being said on high. He'll be lend unto many nations and not borrow. And then he immediately in verse 13 said, he'll make thee the head, not the tail. Thou shalt be above only and not beneath. Then in verse 43 and 44, he reversed it. If a person's living under disobedience and they get the curse, then it's reversed. And he uses the same language that other people will get up high above thee and they will lend to you and you got to borrow from them. So from the context, he's talking about being lifted up means you don't have to even borrow to buy things. I said from the context. Can you see that? That's what God is talking about whenever he says this. Now, in this context, there's other ways God lifts people up, you realize. But in this context, that's what God's talking about. The contemporary English version says, you will have plenty of money to lend to other nations, but you won't need to borrow any yourself. Bible in basic English, other nations will make use of your wealth and you will have no need of theirs. That is where America is today. God put America in that place. America is the head of nations. Absolutely the truth. Absolutely the truth. Now that doesn't mean that we'll stay there forever and ever. We dishonor God. You understand? And we've had our dips because of dishonoring God. We're not special because of any other reason other than this nation was founded as a Christian nation honoring God. I know people don't like that, but that's just the facts. And the news media doesn't want to say it, but that's how it was founded and so forth and so on. So that doesn't mean there's not things go wrong here. There's not things we need to get right and we need to deal with. But yet, right on the other hand, because of honoring God to the degree we have, we're set on high. Well, what about you and your personal life in relation to other people that have a business like yours or in your corporation or whatever? This will apply to you. God wants you to be on top. And he wants you to have this kind of grace flowing in your life through humbling yourself before him, honoring him and so forth, that you actually can, you don't even need the bank. I heard a minister say a number of years ago, he said that the bank was there for a while lending to him, but he got a hold of this revelation and he started paying things off and the bank was like, they ended up using his money in their bank. You know how they do that. They'll lend your money out.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah.
for a fee. Yeah. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. That shouldn't be one or two men here or there. Christians ought to be feared all over this nation because they got the money. That's the way God set it up. You want to have the right government? Get Christians most powerful and influential in business and all these things. And things will line up. Because they that have, it's called the golden rule. They that have the gold rule. I know it's a little twisting of the way it actually is stated. But it is a biblical principle. We just read it right here. The borrower is servant to the lender. That means the lender rules over the borrower. I'm not exaggerating. I'm just saying what the Bible says. So what he's saying is that we'll be at the highest rank financially and be on top. And therefore, other people need us. We really don't need their money. They need our money. Well, did you get anything out of that tonight? Let's go to one more thing. We're almost out of time. In fact, we are out of time. But let's just look at one more thing here before we wrap this up. Let's go back to the book of 2 Corinthians 12. We got to catch this before we go. I wanted to spend more time on this part, but so be it. We have to look at it another time. I think it'll just lay a little bit of a foundation here, and you ask God to start showing it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, we find here a verse that... Here's another verse that's so religious in the church world, but let's just do it a little bit of justice by giving it a little time here tonight before we go. This is when Paul said that there was a thorn in the flesh given to him, the messenger of Satan, because of the abundance of the revelation. You remember that? Let's go to verse number 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So notice that word exalted. A vast, 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 vast majority of the body of Christ think he's talking about pride. Let's interpret this that way and see if it makes sense. Lest I get into pride over the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. So Satan was coming to Paul to buffet him, trying to keep him out of pride. Duh. What's wrong with that picture? The devil knows what made him fall. He tried to exalt, I will exalt myself above the Most High. I will be ruler over the Most High. And you know, all this. And his pride is what made him fall. He knows that. And so he's not trying to keep people out of pride. He's trying to push them into pride. But here's in the religious vernacular, everybody thinks, here's this messenger of Satan trying to keep Paul out of pride. That is dumb. That doesn't even hold water.
Yeah, yeah.
You got holes in your bucket on that one. Your revelation's coming out. It's not working. It's not there. But so this exalting was through the abundance of the revelation. Is that what that said? The lifting up, the word exalting, you can look through it through the Bible and you'll find it's not, oh, the word there translated in the Greek, translated exalting, is not just pride. It means, actually, if you look it up, it means to go beyond the usual mark. To go beyond the usual mark. Unless I go beyond the usual mark because of the revelation that God gave me, Satan sent a messenger. That word messenger means angel. It's a fallen angel. It's a demon. There was a demonic force opposing Paul to try to keep him from walking in that revelation. Because God gave him the revelation. Satan was opposing the revelation, trying to keep Paul from going beyond the usual mark with the revelation. Making sense?
Yes, sir.
And in order to keep Paul from getting the walking in it, number one, himself, and getting the blessings out of it, and getting that word out to other people, he was being buffeted. Satan was trying to stop that message. Amen. Amen. And listen, that's what spiritual warfare is over in your life, too. It's over you getting the revelation. Listen, the revelation. Let me give you the progression here. In fact, think of this. The progression of the way God does things after all these verses. Remember, the grace comes to the humble and humble yourself and he'll lift you up. We see then, this is the way God does things. This is the way that God progresses you into things. Humility, that gets you the revelation. The revelation brings greater grace, and the grace brings you to a higher place. Say it again. This is the progression of the way God does things. Through you and my humility, he gives us greater revelation. That greater revelation comes, it brings greater grace. And that greater grace, of course, we've got to tap into that by faith. But that greater grace brings us, as we walk in faith through that revelation, that grace, it brings us to a higher place. Now, if you got another minute, I'm trying to wrap this up here. Let me give you a couple more verses. 1 Peter 1:13, just write this down. 1 Peter 1:13. He talks about the grace that is brought unto us through the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:13, the grace that's brought unto you through the revelation of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:2. 2 Peter 1:2. It talks about grace and peace being multiplied unto us through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice grace comes through knowledge and revelation. Paul said here, through this revelation that I got when I was caught up to the third heaven, the revelation of who we are in Christ. The revelation is the authority of the believer, the joint seating, the joint inheritance. Amen. In Christ, made righteous. In Christ, cleansed and made whole, you know, healed and all these things. We preach it. That's the revelation. Satan hates that revelation. And you got to know that. It's not personal. It's not about you. It's about the revelation. And so he opposes that revelation because grace comes through that revelation. And God says the humble get the revelation. Those that humble themselves get the revelation, and that brings grace. And that grace, when tapped into by faith, brings you to a higher place. When you decide, I'm going to humble myself before God, and he reveals truth to you, that truth comes with the word grace. If you look at, remember the Bible said, come before the throne of grace, we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The grace is another word for help. You might be in a situation, you're like, God, help. The way he's going to help, he's going to go show you truth. And it came through you humbling yourself, say, God, help me. I honor you. You're my help. I don't recognize myself as my help. You're my help. I honor you. I humble myself before you. And doing that, he'll reveal himself to you. And in that revelation is your help. When you walk in the light of that help, that grace, then you'll go to a higher place. Then you'll go to a higher place. Hallelujah. 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 And that, lest I be exalted through the abundance of the revelation, Paul said. The thing you must believe God for over and over again is Ephesians 1. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. And say it with a sincere, humble heart, honorable before God. And whenever that word, that revelation comes, don't be all proud and all say, well, I don't like that. Because it's gonna mess with your religion, just like some things we said tonight mess with your religion. Hallelujah. Don't get angry at the truth whenever it comes. I mean, there's people that in this city that get angry at what we're preaching about. Yeah. Well, that's why they're struggling.
That's right.
That reveals pride.
Yes, sir. Come on.
It wasn't our opinion. It was written in the scriptures.
That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't get mad. Get glad.
Amen.
It's your help. It's your answer.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're teachable, you're reachable. But if you before the Word of God, you're not humble and teachable and you don't honor God's Word as the answer, well, then God can't help you. Amen?
Amen.
The key to receiving is seeing what you need to see, hearing what you need to hear. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The reason things are hard, whether it's for you or for me, is because we don't have enough help. Because we don't have the revelation we need.
Yes, sir.
That's why Miss Ann has been programmed, keep coming.
Keep coming.
Keep coming.
That's right.
Keep coming.
Keep coming.
It's amazing when people just keep coming, eventually they go, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes,
I love a testimony we heard recently because it reveals somebody that struggled a lot with the things we were preaching, but they just kept on coming, and they just got a great victory out of it. And whenever they shared their testimony, I thought to myself, I'm glad they didn't just stop and get mad and say, that's it, it doesn't work, I'm leaving. Because they've been faithful, and they kept saying, oh, oh, oh. And here comes the honor of God. Here comes the honor of God. He honored them in ministering to them and changing a situation in their life. Well, let's keep on saying, oh. Hallelujah. Shout to the heavens with me tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I wanted to spend more time on that, but we got to quit. I'll just make a statement like this. Pride can't hear God when he speaks. It gets mad. You see it all through the Bible. And you've probably seen it in your life. Whenever God speaks through somebody and you don't like it, you don't like what they shared, and you get mad. Well, I'm going to stomp out, you know. You know, the woman that came, that brought her daughter, the Phoenician woman, she brought her daughter, and Jesus says, not me to take children's bed and give it to the dog. She could have got mad, stomped out. Calling me a dog, you know, who stomped out? Well, bless God, those old arrogant Jews. But she didn't. She said, truth, Lord, truth, Lord. And because of humility, she got what she needed, and God honored her. Can you see that now? That's God honor. Listen, whenever somebody gives their testimony, God honored them. God honored them. He honored their faith. He honored them honoring his word. Glory! Stand up with me and shout again.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberle's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147. Or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.